Daniel chapter 1 tonight, and thankful to preach the Word of God. I'm very grateful I get to pastor the North Hills Baptist Church. Been there about 3 years. It's a church plant about 7 years old, actually just 8 years old now. And so I came in there. The previous pastor, God moved him up to West Valley Baptist in Nampa, Idaho. And so it's just a young work, and we're growing it there in North County. Actually, the Lord's growing it. I'm letting him do the work that way, and I just get to preach the word. And I'm grateful to do that, and I pray that it's a blessing. We just need good churches in California, don't we? And Bible preaching, Bible teaching churches that love God and that love others. And I love your, I was talking to your pastor about your theme the other day, and I love that, just loving God and loving people upward and outward, and how that's correct that way. So I'm grateful for that. I'm also thankful for the songs tonight. I appreciate that last one there. Lord, I need you. And in that, the truth. We do. Our dependency, anything that's done here is just because of God. And I know you know that. You're a smart crowd. It's good. But man, is it true in your heart tonight that you're just dependent upon the Lord? We just need him, don't we? We need him now more than ever. And things happen in this world. Things are always changing. But we need that stability in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that he is immutable. He is unchanging. And we get to trust and put our faith and trust in him. Daniel chapter 1 tonight, if you follow along as I read aloud, I'm going to start in verse 1. The Bible says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land to Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. Father, I pray again that you would just empower me now. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that we get to stand firm upon it. I pray, Lord, that you've already lifted up your name. I'm thankful for that. I thank you that you've exalted your name. And Lord, I'm also thankful tonight that your word, that I do not desire to counsel you, Holy Spirit, on how you work through your word, but I pray that it would accomplish that which you desire. And Lord, I pray right now that just as Samuel would cry out, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, that would be the desire of every listener in here, that we'd be spirit-filled listeners, wanting to not just hear, but do, and apply the word of God in our hearts and in our lives today. We thank you for this, Lord. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I thank the Lord for the fact that, you know, we can have, going through even a series in the book of Daniel called Faith-Filled Living in a Sin-Cursed World. Faith-Filled Living in a Sin-Cursed World. The fact that we can still be faithful to the Lord in this day and age that we live in. There's no doubt that, you know, Paul told Timothy that it was going to get worse and worse, that this world was only going to get worse and worse. And I'm telling you, sometimes I look at where we're at as a world, and I look back at Nero, and I think about all the wickedness that was done in his reign, and I think about various leaders throughout history where things were done and immorality was rampant, and even persecution of Christians. And I think to myself, hey, I don't think we're there yet. And I think, but things have changed over the world. Even in these days of Nebuchadnezzar and for Daniel, for Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, things were changing for them. And no doubt that change comes. Some change is good. That's a good thing. Someone said to me the other day, oh, to be young again. Now, I will admit, I'll be 37 in November, so I'm 37 years young to some of you. To some of you, I'm 37 years old. But I'll say this, whatever the case is, someone said, oh, to be young again. I thought, well, I like my 20s, but I'm really digging 36 right now. I'm upward and onward, amen? I'm okay with moving on, all right? But the fact of the matter is that some change is good. It's a good thing. No doubt, though, that when we do see change, there is a way in which we can biblically respond to the change that comes into our lives, whether it's externally or whether it's something that happens to our families or something that happens to us spiritually. I'm thankful for the change and the transformation that Jesus Christ brought into my life on July 27th, 1995. I'm thankful for my salvation, the day I got saved. Are you thankful for your salvation? Well, that was a change, a transformation, that God would continue to transform you into His image. What a blessing that is. So some change is good. But no doubt here we have in this story a familiar story, and please don't let the familiarity of the story tune you out. Sometimes we get like that. We'll hear a familiar passage and we've said, well, I've Sunday school lessoned that passage time and time again. But may God help us and His Holy Spirit to help us to listen tonight in dealing with different changes that come, because we do know that there's a lot of changes. First of all, I want you to see here that as Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, in fact, all of Israel was taking place, they were experiencing several changes. In fact, tonight we're going to see that there was a governmental change, a political change. There was a spiritual change in the house of Israel that was taking place. And then there was even an individual change that was taking place here. By God's grace, we want to see these changes here, and what can we learn from these changes, and how can we thrive? How can we have a faith-filled life in this sin-cursed world that we live in? Because even though Christ has conquered sin, amen, even though we are no longer slaves and servants to it, sin's presence is still about us. Sin's presence is still about you and I. Oh, it sneaks up all the time. In fact, sometimes it comes banging with pots and pans and we still fall for it. We do live in a sin-cursed world, but we need some lights and some salt in this world to go forth with a love of God that's extended to all men everywhere, that they might know the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's stuff you've learned already, stuff you know, but bear with me here tonight. In this change that we see here, there was a governmental change for Israel. The Bible says in the first verse here, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And look at verse 2. Look what it says here. And the Lord, what's that word there? Gave. Let's try that again. And the Lord what? Gave. Notice that it wasn't just the might and the power of Nebuchadnezzar that took over. The Lord gave it over, gave Jehoiakim over to Nebuchadnezzar. This was obviously prophesied in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah would prophesy about this. In fact, he was telling them, hey, listen, there's change coming. We're going to be in captivity for about 70 years. You better get ready for some change. Now, the freedom that you experience right now, it's not going to be the same anymore. You're going to experience some change, Israel. You might as well get used to something around here that we're going to be in captivity. So lay low, build a family, enjoy life the best you can, but this is where we're headed. And Israel would go, oh, no, we're not going to do that. Oh, whatever, Jeremiah. Oh, Jeremiah, there he goes, crazy again. Now, hold on. We don't have the time to go back here tonight, but even in Jeremiah, he stood in the parking lot of the temple there, if you will, and he stood there, and God told him to proclaim and preach that they were going to be in captivity, and that was, thus saith the Lord. Yeah. We say, well, okay, good. Well, what's that have to do with anything? Well, on the other side, there was guys within the temple that didn't have thus saith the Lord that were declaring the fact that they weren't going to be in captivity. They said, no, it's not going to last. We will come through this. We're all going to make it. Everything will be just fine. Thus saith the Lord. There's a lot of that going on today. Yeah, there's a lot of thus saith the Lord, and God has nothing to do with it. You ready for this? Sometimes they're in the church house. There's a lot of places out there that call them churches. Even this week, I was reading something about, if you just claim something, then you'll never feel the oppression of debt, and you'll be free with wealth and so on. And I thought to myself, good grief, what kind of gospel is that? I mean, I'm all for it. That sounds nice, but it's not realistic. And here inside is Jeremiah out here. And listen, the message wasn't popular. In fact, he said, come on, Jeremiah, get over here. Now, what's the word of the Lord? You're going to be taken over. Nebuchadnezzar's going to come in. I mean, he warned king after king, it seemed like. And they were like, oh, everything's going to be okay. He even told one of them to run, to get out of the way, and they went towards it. You listening here tonight? A change was coming. Captivity was coming, and people were going, nah. But this guy, I like what he said. Hey, in the midst of all the change that's taken place, we better start listening a little bit more to what the Bible has to say, don't you think? Oh, let me go back on that for a second. We need to listen a lot more about what the Bible has to say. And so tonight we see that there was a governmental change, and not only that, but that God gave that government to Nebuchadnezzar. We have to plug in. Do I keep knocking this off? My soul. We have to plug into the thought here tonight that we don't know what it's like to go through a lot of government change here. We don't. Our hardship is going from Republican to Democrat to Democrat to Republican. That's our hardship. Some of you come from maybe a different country where you understand that. You were born in a different nation. You understand that. Hey, listen, we've never been in a situation in our lifetime. We've never seen this where someone's taken their constitution and ripped it up and decided to declare a whole new constitution. I know you know that. I'm just trying for us to understand. This concept is a little bit foreign to see a government change. We don't really fully understand what it's like. I think about in the 30s, as a young man would rise up that came out of prison, that was in prison because of his beliefs, but yet in Germany would rise to the point that he'd become the leader and bring his nation, Germany, into a world war. Hey, change was coming. Things were happening. They didn't understand. A lot of people in Germany were duped into this guy's beliefs. And they thought, hey, this is the best thing for greater Germany. And look where it got him. Hey, we don't understand the government change as a big change, shifting from one king to another, whatever the case is. But can we say this, that God, nations are but a drop in a bucket to the Lord, according to Isaiah. And not only that, but as the world and as we continue to see changes, whether they're Kim Jong-il or Kim Jong-un, or whether it's the Chavez of Venezuela, or whether it's the Castro of Cuba that has gone on, and now there's another Castro, or it's the Slobodan Milosevic's of the world that have come and gone, there's no doubt that changes have taken place, and they think that they are something when in reality God winks at them. And government comes and goes. And I don't care if you voted for Hillary, Barack, or Donald, or Ted, or anybody else. I'm just telling you here tonight that governments come and go and change. But there is a stabilizing force that the Lord gave that. Are you with me? The Lord gave Jehoiakim into Nebuchadnezzar. Here is a massive change taking place. And here's Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah specifically out of this book that are looking at it and going, whoa, things are changing. They're little guys coming. They're princes of the Hebrews, of the tribe of Judah. And now they're coming into this situation, pulled from their homes, pulled into a new kingdom, having to learn something completely different. This is all a big change to Israel. Not only that, we'd see that the temple would be destroyed. We'd see that Jerusalem would become a weak city that needed to be rebuilt eventually using Ezra and Nehemiah. Oh, which was a mighty city, Jerusalem, is now, it's at the beginning stages of going under. Are you with me here tonight? I know I'm scanning through some Bible here, but we have to understand the context of it all here, and not just the past, but the future implications. That there's going to be changes in government, but knowing this, that God allowed these changes to take place. God allowed these changes, and why did God allow these changes to take place? Some would ask, why would God even allow something like this to take place in the life of Israel? Well, if you just read your Bible, you'd understand that he said, hey, listen, I have a blessing for you, but I also have a curse for you. If you obey me, you'll experience the blessings. I will be your God and you will be my people. But you go follow after false idols. You begin to worship the gods of the Canaanites. You begin to intermarry within the people of the Canaanites. Hey, listen, at this time, as you continue to do that, I will remove the kingdom from you. Oh yeah, God is going to teach them a lesson through this. God is going to show them, by the way, the grace of God through all of this. But all this is changing. All this government that's taking place, this change, whatever the case is, it's going on. Now we're building up because we'll get to the application here in a moment. Just bear with me now. Not only do we see a government change, but we also see a spiritual change. See what happened in verse 2 here. The Bible says that, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. There was a spiritual climate that was changing in Israel as well. Now, I dare say this to you, that the change was already taking place. Let me ask you, if the Lord gave that into Jehoiakim's hand, gave Jehoiakim into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, it also goes on to say that God gave the vessels of the house of God to Nebuchadnezzar. Are you seeing this out of this passage? God stewarded a wicked, evil king with the vessels of the house of God. Those vessels that were set apart, that were sanctified for the house of God, are now given in stewardship to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. I don't know about you, but if you've read the name Babylon in the Bible, it's usually not a great connotation. It's just not good. And yet God said, nope, give the vessels to Nebuchadnezzar. Excuse me, he trusted Nebuchadnezzar to take care of them more than he did Israel. He was stewarding him to take care of those, and those vessels would be passed on. In fact, if we jumped on to Daniel chapter 5, you'd see that Belshazzar would be sitting there and having this horrible party, and then he'd say, hey, you know what? Let's do something. Why don't you go get those vessels that were taken? Bring them in here. We're going to drink out of them. We're going to have a good old time with this party. And wouldn't you know it, right on the wall, a hand would appear, mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. You've been weighed in the balance, Belshazzar. You've been found wanting. Tonight, your kingdom will be removed from you. It's Belshazzar, that very vessel that he would hold in his hand would drop as his knees would shake. His knees would smote together, the Bible says. But yet it's the same vessels that would eventually come back to the temple in Nehemiah. Even with Ezra, when God would allow Cyrus to take, hey, he would say this, hey, Zerubbabel, why don't you take those vessels that were in the house of your God and take them back to the house of your God? Hey, there's a spiritual climate changing. Excuse me, we may not get the impact of this. I want us to see this here tonight, that Israel's spiritual climate had changed already because the vessels were taken for Israel and they didn't even know the difference. You with me here? They didn't know the difference that the vessels that were taken from the house of God because they didn't care about them in the first place. The climate had changed already, but now anything that they were allowed to do is now completely done. That's removed from them. That change has taken place, and now they're going to be taken to the vessels of a house of a pagan god. The Bible says that he removed them and took them to the house of his God in Shinar and brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. So here, listen, we have vessels that are set apart, sanctified for God's use, to honor God, to be used of God, is now in a house for a pagan god. I don't know about you, but the last time I saw that was when the Ark of the Covenant was in the house of Dagon. And if you know your Bible there, that in the house of Dagon is whenever the Dagon would fall and his hands would be cut off and continue to happen in the Philistines. Ultimately, God revealing himself in a magnificent way to the Philistines there, but yet the Philistines rejected and pushed the Ark of the Covenant out and said, someone else take this. Set up Dagon and said, here's our God. The vessels of God, the spiritual climate had changed in Israel to the point now that there was going to be some new gods that we're going to have to quote-unquote worship. Fast forward again to Daniel chapter 3, and now there's a statue. And now everyone that hears the music and everything else like that is going to have to do what? They're going to have to bow down to it. So there was a spiritual climate that was changing, but it was only going to get worse and worse and worse. So some changes in this time are taking place. And here we have Israel experience a governmental change. They're experiencing a spiritual change. And now we see even an individual change. We have these four Hebrew boys that are taken from their homes, that are taken from their schooling as princes and learning in the Hebrew law and understanding Hebrew tongue. They learn everything about this with Israel. They've been continued in their education there, now ripped from that and taken to a place, to a house of eunuchs, to be raised up for the next 3 years to become, well, plump so they can stand in front of the king, so that they can have wisdom and knowledge before the king. They were to learn the ways of the Chaldean tongue. They were to learn all this science. They were to learn the ways of Babylon. It's kind of fearful, you think about it. Hey, you have a Christian school. I'm thankful for your Christian school. Can I be honest with you? I'm not trying to be mean. Some of you guys send kids to public school. Hey, listen, I'm not the parent. I parent four kids right here. Those are my kids I take care of. You understand? But I got to be honest with you. With the types of schools that we have sometimes in California, some are very good schools. Don't get me wrong. Not all are bad. There's great teachers. In fact, just met some teachers the other day that are Christians, that are faithfully doing the work there in public schools. I praise the Lord for that. You ought to praise God for some Christian school teachers. Amen? And the battles they face, by the way. My neighbor, him and his wife, born-again believers, but yet they teach, they go in there and they teach and they face different adversity. And it's coming to a point in their life where they're like, I don't know what else we can do anymore. This is their testimony, not mine. Hey, this is just California. You imagine learning the ways of the Babylonian school? I know this is a lot of foundation here. I don't mean to bore you to death with history and everything else like that, but if we're going to get to where we're getting, we have to understand this aspect of it. There was an individual change. They're going to be in the schools of Babylon. They're going to learn all about this. They're going to learn a completely different tongue. Things have changed individually for Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Everything they knew and understood is now completely shifted and changed into this Babylonian empire. Yeah. Oh. Oh, yeah. Their names would be changed too. They would go from Daniel to Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, to Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and Azariah to Abednego. They weren't even going to keep their names. Well, great lesson tonight, Pastor. Good. Thanks for the hope. Change. Good. Now that we know all that, now that that's all out of the way, I mean, what's change? Well, I don't think I have to spend a whole lot of time building up the fact that we've seen some changes in our nation. Hey, we've seen some things in our nation, just politically and as far as government goes, things that were once unacceptable are now acceptable. Listen, I'm not trying to start a rally here tonight, and I'm not trying to ask you to vote for me next November or anything else like that, okay? Not interested in it. I'm just telling you, you know, you're gonna have to open your eyes a little bit and see that there's some things that have changed. You know, the United States I even grew up in is still different than where my kids are growing up in. And my dad would tell you, oh, it's not the same United States I was raised in. My grandparents would say, it's not the same United States I was raised in. Many of you have that testimony. But there's no doubt that change comes, and this world is getting worse and worse, and the governments that come and go, and even with the United States, whether it was 8 years of this person or 4 years of that person, whatever the case is, hey, listen, they come and they go. And ultimately, we desire that we can continue to proclaim the gospel with liberty, that without persecution, without worry of persecution. We can proclaim the gospel freely. Hey, listen, that's how we ought to vote. That's how we ought to pray. That's what we ought to work for. But I don't have to go far in this church. You understand that you even have a missionary sent out that was the former pastor of this church that goes to countries that really, even though the gospel can continue to go forth, you have to do it in a very unique way to do it. But so governments change, and whether there's missionaries on foreign fields that may not experience the same liberties that we do in the United States, or even here in the state of California, that they just did a special day on Thursday for Bring Your Bible to School Day. Even that is mentioned, that you get to bring your Bible to school on a specific day instead of every day. Are you with me here tonight? That there's some changes that have taken place, and they're coming along, but sometimes we kind of just push against the changes. We don't want them to take place. We fight it, we may protest, but can I tell you this, that this world is getting worse and worse, and I'm bringing hope to you, so hang tight for a second. But I also have to tell you that the spiritual change in America has changed. Hey, listen, preachers aren't sticking with the Bible anymore. We're not preaching the Word of God. We're not teaching and learning. Listen, we can blame the preachers, but can I say this, the family altar's dried up at home. We're not praying with our children anymore. We're not praying over our children anymore. There's a spiritual need here. We're bankrupt here in the United States of America. We're spiritually bankrupt. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we do need you. But there's a spiritual change, and we like to blame it on this outside group and that outside group. But the reality is, individually, it better be you and I that are doing something about the change that's taking place spiritually. But no doubt, we can all agree that government has changed spiritually in this climate that we're in. It's not the same. Hey, listen, I was just invited to go to a beer and the gospel invitation at a local pub in North County. Brother Sammy's going. He said that because he wanted me to go. No. That's who I got it from. No. Hey, listen. We're talking about this is a preacher's invitation to get other preachers to gather in a local pub to talk about beer and the gospel. Oh, here he goes, a teetotaler. All right. I'm okay with that. I just want to know what the Bible has to say. And I'm not just picking here. I'm just telling you, this is just an example of a greater whole of where the heart of the spiritual heart is of Christians today. We're apathetic. We're not reading the Word of God, studying it, memorizing it like we ought to. Can we be honest here? I mean, I'm being honest with you. I have to study. You're a pastor. You're supposed to study. I'm talking about personal study. There's times as a pastor you just want to read the Word of God and not think about this possibly being a message. I'm just being honest with you. You help me. You can say amen there. Amen. That's right. Yeah, Brother Ryan, you get there and you're like, boy, the teenagers need to hear that. I'm sitting there, oh yeah, that would be good. And the Holy Spirit of God's going, you need to hear that. Yeah, I do. Memorizing scripture, spending time in prayer. We've lost the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We're not empowered with the Holy Spirit anymore. We're living powerless lives in this Christian life. The spiritual climate has changed. Now, hold on. I know it sounds like all doomsday. Again, bear with me. I'm saying this over and over because you don't know me, so you don't know where this is coming from. So just hang tight, because I know you're ready to walk out this building going, that's a friend of pastors, you know, good grief. Real gloomy guy, isn't he, you know? But we have to present these truths from the Word of God. It wasn't a great outlook for Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. What are they going to do? Just dry up and get it over with? That's over. That's it. Life's changed now. Even the fact that people don't look at Christians the same way, they look at us now more hostile than anything, don't they? We present truth and they go, oh. Hey, just the other day, a vile, wicked man, unfortunately, probably split open the pit of hell when he died. owner and originator of a publication that's ruined many of homes, that's ruined many of lives because people gave into that kind of stuff. Are you with me here tonight? And yet, it's the same people that will cry out and say, what a man, what a great guy. But yet, whenever there is a massive, horrible, immoral culture going on throughout our nation, they go, wow, I can't believe this is happening. Even my wife, we were talking about this at Stanford University just yesterday. They were talking about how there was so much going on with the rape culture in Stanford. I said, isn't it funny they don't even want to talk about alcohol at all and drugs? No, it has to do with just that alone. And they look at whenever we call something out like that as sin, they go, judgmental. Judge not. And, you know, that and other verses that you can pull out of context and proof and everything else like that. And we do that sometimes too, don't we? But the world changes their view about us. And our identity now looks like Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego instead of Christian. Christ-like, light and salt in a dark world. So then what did Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah have to do? Well, you know that Daniel purposed in his heart, and so did Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You also know that when it came down to it, that Daniel sought God for wisdom to interpret a dream. You also know that Hananiah, Mishael, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow the knee. But how did they get to that point? How can they thrive? How can they have a faith-filled life? How can they continue to move on by faith in an ever-changing government, an ever-changing spiritual climate, and even individually that they were known by these names? And I'm telling you, for all of us here tonight, the way that we can see and live a faith-filled life in the midst of all the change is trust something that is immutable. Trust something that someone that is unchanging, that did not change throughout this whole thread of this whole book, and that is Jehovah God. And he's the same God. He's the same God from everlasting to everlasting. He's the same one you can put your faith and trust in tonight. You say, well, I thank God that I'm saved, but I'm telling you, it's time for us to keep, Christian, to keep moving by faith in this ever-changing government society. Quit trying to change every politician out there and go with the gospel. You may not like that, but that's just the truth. We want to change everything. Change this person. If we just get this person out, this one will be better. They come and they go. And I listen, that doesn't mean don't vote and everything else. I don't mean that. You understand? You with me here tonight? I just want to make sure you know where I'm coming from on this. The fact of the matter, God gives us the ability to trust him, that in the midst of changes of government and politics, we still get to trust the unchanging hand of God because he's actually the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's always and will be in charge, and his kingdom will reign forever and ever. Oh, in fact, I just read the last part of Zechariah the other day, and it's that city, and they name the city. And the city is to this day called the Lord is there. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The hanging gardens of Babylon. Yeah, they're gone. That's just a wonder. But the city where God is still there. You with me? The government that he rules and reigns has no end. So instead of putting our faith and trust in the political system and everything else, maybe we're doing that tonight. Maybe we just need to bow the knee and say, God, I need to put my faith and trust in you. Can I help you out? Maybe sometimes you just need to turn off a little bit of talk radio and start doing some praying. God, how can I go forth? Because I'm not going out here to go door to door in San Marcos or North County, San Diego, and asking people about their politics. I'm asking them about this. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Again, I know that's not a popular message. It's okay. The fact of the matter is that whether it's Babylon or whether it's some other kingdom, whether, you know, people say, well, what people were asking me in church, what's going to happen if Guam gets nuked and if North Korea gets a bomb all the way to San Diego and so on? Man, I don't know. I guess I'm just going to have to keep trusting the Lord through it. I mean, I don't know the answer. I don't know what to tell you except trust the Lord through it. Because whether changes come, I'm telling you, we're going to have to continue to trust the Lord. The spiritual change that comes, I want you to know this. The spiritual climate may change in the churches and may change in the homes, but it doesn't have to for you. That's the best part. You still get to spend time with the Lord and read your Bible and pray. You get to hide the Word of God in your heart. Hey, listen, that used to move mountains in people's lives. When's the last time you saw something move like that in your life? Just want to be honest with you. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my parents. I'm thankful for their example. But there came a point in my life where I was done seeing the miracles of God done in their life that I got to ride the coattails of. I started wanting to see what God was going to do in my life. Listen, there's got to be a point where you got to quit riding the coattails of somebody else and start seeing God do some great things in your life. The spiritual climate may change in America, but it doesn't have to. It could be red, hot, fiery here at the church and at home. Oh, yeah. What are they doing over there at Liberty Baptist Church, Newport Beach? Well, they're preaching, teaching the Bible. Well, I mean, they got some fun activities? Sure. What do they do at the activities? Well, they play, they have some good activities, but then they preach, teach the Bible. Why? Because they're concerned about people going to heaven. They want them to go to heaven. Lastly tonight, the individual, they can keep labeling us whatever they want, and you can label whoever, whatever you want. The fact of the matter is this. My identity is not found in this world. My identity is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And last time I checked, it's called the Book of Daniel, not the Book of Belteshazzar. In fact, later on you'd see that the king, even here, the king would call him, Daniel. Daniel, are you still alive? Do you remember that? Daniel, are you still alive? Yeah, I'm still here. My identity is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, the world doesn't have to label you tonight, Christian. You with me here? Let them do their thing. Don't let the flesh get in the way of that either. And just say, God, I want to reach the people of this world effectively. And that's got to be found in my purpose in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the midst of all that was going on in Babylon, still Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah still stood and still had their focus on what God, still wanting to try to please the Lord no matter what may come. Even if it meant death. You with me? They were just willing to do whatever God wanted them to do as long as they were pleasing the Lord. We may get adversarial with this world, but that's not what God's called us to do. This world is not, listen, the world, the flesh, and the devil, these are enemies that we have to combat and face and so on. But I just want you to know this. We're called to reach this world with the gospel, to be light, to be something different. And we may feel cozy in, I mean, I love where I live. It's very nice. It's nice here as well. We may be cozy where we live, but the reality is our neighbors, they're lost in sin, and they need to know that they need a Savior, that they're sinners in need of a Savior. But they're going to need someone to just kind of snap out of a little bit and see the changes that have gone on. Learn that. Okay, good. I see that happening. I'm aware of that. I'm gaining knowledge and wisdom. And then ultimately, though, I'm just going to please God. Oh, yeah. How are you going to have a faith-filled life, Pastor? How are you going to have a faith-filled life in this midst? What are we going to do? Oh, well, quit wringing your hands out. Just get on our knees and say, God, there's a lot of changes that are taking place, but I'm so glad that you are unchanging. God, I'm going to put my faith and trust in the one that's never changed. He said in Malachi 3, I am the Lord, I change not. Even James would declare that that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Nothing going to change that dial. He's still the same God. He's the same God that saw Daniel through it. He's the same God that just like the fourth one was like the Son of God walking in the midst of that fire, is the same God you and I get to pray and sing to tonight. It's the same God. We could put our faith and trust in Him tonight. Maybe tonight you don't know the Lord. Maybe this is different and you don't understand this. I just want you to know you can know the Lord tonight. He can know you tonight. His love is extended to you in grace and mercy. But Christian, tonight and here in our... Hey, listen, I only do this because I want to strengthen our churches in California. I do. All over. Don't get me wrong. I'm not just trying to... You know, I'm thankful Brother Tim's out in Arizona. But I love California. This is where I grew up. I love this state. And not a lot of people outside of the state love this state. In fact, even people within this state don't love this state. But I'm not infatuated with this state. I love the people. And they need the Lord. We need to be strengthened that when changes come, that God help us to trust His unchanging hand. Whether it's government, whether it's spiritual climate, or whether we are getting a new identity. They're calling us this, they're calling us that today. May I be known as this. I'm Christ-like to an unchanging God. Father, I pray that You would help us now tonight. We need Your strength. And Lord, I know that the sobriety of the moment calls for us, Lord, that we need to step up at this time, Lord, to strengthen our hands to the work. I can't help but think about how You encouraged Joshua to be strong. You commanded him, be strong and of good courage. Lord, I pray that You'd help this Thy people tonight to put our faith and trust in the unchanging hand of God, to build that strength and that courage in the Lord. I pray whatever despair that we're going through here tonight, that we would just trust You. Pray for this invitation time to come, however You desire, Lord. Would You work? Would Your people be obedient to the task at hand? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.